He has truly done great things, though. Amen. Let's just take a minute. I just shout out some great things that God has done for you. If He has done great things, what great things has He done?
Woke me up this morning.
Okay.
Salvation.
Yeah. Amen.
Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's
my
keeper. Heal my body. Amen.
And show all y'all my sin.
Great things, bro.
Intercede for me daily.
It's an intercede. Amen. He has done great things. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Restored my soul, Pastor.
Yes. Great things.
Fought my battles, Pastor.
Great things.
I can keep hollering down. I can get a whole lot of stuff for me.
He has done great things.
Brought me back for more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He has done great things. Amen.
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 Yes.
Yes.
Listen to my problem.
Amen.
Amen.
Comforter.
My comforter.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Well, last week we started a series called More Than Conquerors. And kind of our theme scripture that we were looking at last week came from John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Amen. I have overcome the world. And so also last week I gave out a handout. Some of you were not here last week. Mark, would you give out? They're right there on the bench. And Romans 8:37 says, but in all things we are overwhelmingly conqueror through him who loved us. 1 John 2:13 says, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 5:5 says, he is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so this scripture handout that I gave you last week and giving us today, this is for scripture memory. You know, we don't memorize scripture like we used to, you know? And we were saying last week that scripture memory is the whole idea of internalizing the Word of God. And so when we memorize scripture, it's kind of like we are internalizing the Word of God. So my encouragement for us throughout the month of June is that we take this handout and that we begin to memorize these scriptures. Okay? Memorize these scriptures. How many scriptures are there? Five? Five scriptures. So that's one a day. Oh, no, really. About one or two a week. And so we want to see how well you are internalizing the Word of God as we focus on the idea of being more than conquerors. One thing we discovered last week is that the word conquer, in the Greek language, the word is nikia, nikia. And we discovered that that is where we get the idea, that's where Nike got their idea of the Nike logo or the Nike sign. Because Nike said that through Nike wear that you can be conquerors, that you can overcome. And they get it from a Greek word, Nikea. The same word that Jesus is using, the same word that God is using when he tells us that we are conquerors. He's telling us that we have the ability to be overcomers. Amen? And so this month we want to look at what it looks like, what it means to be overcomers. And we want to start today with overcoming the distractions in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Overcoming the distractions in our lives. Turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And I'm reading from the King James. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, we come before you today. And we pray, Lord God, that you will speak to us through your word. We pray, Lord God, as we discuss a delicate issue about the distractions in our lives, that you will give us insight from your word to help us to know, Lord God, how to overcome distractions. We pray, Lord God, that your word would be food for our souls, that we pray, Lord God, that we would, our appetite will be satisfied today through your word. Have your way to you through your word today, Father. Be magnified and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider this passage of scripture in light of our topic, this scripture is usually one of those scriptures that is used when we talk about needing protection from God. It is one of those scriptures that the Israelites would sing. They would actually sing this psalm as they were on their way to Israel, to Jerusalem, for the Day of Atonement, for the Passover celebration. And as they would travel to Jerusalem for Passover, it would be a treacherous journey. But it's one of those psalms that's known as an ascent psalm because they are ascending to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, to celebrate the Day of Atonement, to celebrate the feast in Jerusalem. So you can imagine that those Israelites, those Jewish people who lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away, the journey that they had to overcome to ascend to Jerusalem. You see, as they began this physical journey of ascending over the treacherous terrain, they would sing this song. And they would ask for God's guidance. They would ask for God's protection. And I like this psalm. I believe that it is applicable to us today because even though we may not be on a physical journey of ascending to the presence of God, but we are on a spiritual journey as we are ascending into God's presence. You know, when I read verse 1 from my King James Bible, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. But it's interesting because the NIV says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, semicolon, where does my help come from? The New Living Translation says, I will look to the mountains, but does my help come from there? The Message says, I will look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? The New English Version says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And so as we read this psalm that the Jewish people would be singing as they are ascending to Jerusalem for worship and for sacrifice, one of the things that they would say is that, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Amen? But then immediately after that, the question will be asked, but where does my help really come from? You see, as they ascended to Jerusalem, and as they looked at the mountains, they realized that their help was not in the mountains. They realized that their help was in God the Father. They realized that their help was not in the mountains. Now, mountains are significant in the life of the nation of Israel. Oftentimes it was mountains where God would meet his children at. It was in the mountains where God met the prophet Elijah. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? It was on the mountain where God met Moses. And he says, take off your feet, for you are walking on holy ground. It is the mountain on the Mount of God where God placed Adam and Eve in Eden. The Bible tells us that it was the Mount of God. And so you see, mountains played a significant role or part in the life of the people of God as they commune with God. But mountains also played a significant role as related to worshiping pagan gods as well. So many times we read in the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us that these pagan gods were worshipped in the high places, that they were worshipped in the mountains. And so there were times when the mountains held a special spiritual significance for the people of God, but the mountains also held, represented a place of pagan worship, a place of idol worship, a place of distraction for the children of Israel. And as they ascended on this journey to Israel, they were tempted by the mountains. They were tempted by the things that were that the mountains had to offer. And they were distracted. You know, it doesn't take long for us to become distracted. I remember so many times when I find myself at home on my knees praying, and in the midst of praying, your mind begins to wander. In the midst of reading the Word of God, and you are reading about the goodness of God, and you are reading about how blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And before you know it, your mind has wandered somewhere that is ungodly.
Amen.
You see, it doesn't take long for us to become distracted. In fact, you know what? Research has determined that the attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. In 2000, interestingly enough, 2,000 people participated in a survey by Microsoft. In Microsoft, in their survey, they determined that the human attention span has decreased to 8 seconds. In other words, I got about 8 seconds to hold your attention. 8 seconds. It's interesting because the attention span decreased at the same time that cell phones came out. This Microsoft research experiment determined that about if our attention is not held for 8 seconds, one of the first things that we do is reach for our cell phones. What is it about distractions that hold us? What is it about distractions that keep us away from our focus on God? As we look at our scripture today, I want to give us some, I hope that they will be practical and concrete lessons about how we can maintain our focus on God and not allow distractions to carry us away from God. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we look at the Word of God, the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes into the hills. Then he says, where does my help come from? I believe that if we want to not be distracted, that we have to understand the true source of distractions. We have to understand the true source of distractions. Because there are many distractions in our lives. I was doing some research for this sermon, and I discovered 10 major distractions in the life of all believers and people in general. One of those, is the first one is money. Number one on the list is money. Money distracts us. Money takes our focus off God. Money takes our focus off the spiritual ascent to God. Don't miss that now. As we are ascending to God's presence, I'm not talking about church, but I'm talking about you as an individual believer, me as an individual believer on this spiritual journey and ascending to God's presence. One of the things that distracts me from ascending to God's presence is money. The second one is media. The media. The media is a huge distraction from our being able to get into God's presence. I love The Walking Dead. I can't wait till it comes out. I think it's next month, right? I can't wait to see which one of them was killed. And so I gotta be careful that those nights when The Walking Dead comes on, if I need to be doing my sermon preparation, if I need to be doing my schoolwork, then I need to make sure that I record The Walking Dead. Amen. And so the media distracts us from our spiritual ascent into the presence of God. Another thing that distracts us from our spiritual descent into the presence of God is religion. It's religion. Sometimes we can be so focused on being religious and we can be so focused on being right that we miss being in God's presence. Sometimes we can be so focused on wanting to look right in the eyes of other people that we want to look spiritually right. We want to look righteously right that we miss being in God's presence. And it distracts us. It distracts us from our spiritual descent into God's presence. Another distraction from being in God's presence is relationships. Sometimes we allow our relationships to distract us and not allow us to be where we need to be with God. Sometimes we will allow the smell of perfume. Sometimes we will allow the wink of the eye, the blinking of the eye. Sometimes we will allow just being in somebody's presence. We will allow that to distract us from being in God's presence. Sometimes our children distract us. And because our life becomes so engulfed in what our children are doing, then it distracts us from being in God's presence. I remember when we were raising our boys and you know what? We as parents can be so competitive. Our kids are playing little league baseball. T-ball. They not even, you know, the pitcher not even pitching at them yet. They trying to hit the ball off the tee. And we can be so competitive if you don't put the ball on the tee so that my son can hit it. If my son doesn't get a chance, if he doesn't get in the game, we're going to have a problem. And we can be so competitive. Oh, they think their son is just so this and so that. We can be so competitive and we allow our children to distract us from God's presence. We allow them to distract us from being all that we can be for God. And don't get me wrong, we have a mandate, a biblical mandate from God to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have that biblical mandate from God. But if we allow that to get in the way of me being in God's presence, then we have become distracted. We have become distracted. There are times when we allow work to distract us. We become so absorbed in our careers and so absorbed in my accomplishments and my achievements that it distracts me from being in God's presence. This is not easy stuff, y'all. This is not easy stuff to talk about. Because one of the things I realize is that these verses apply to me first. Before I can teach them and preach them to you, I got to apply it to myself first. And when I look at some of these things, I wasn't happy about what I saw in my life. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't happy about what I saw in my life. And so this is difficult stuff for me to even say. Because as I looked at these, I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm allowing these things to distract me from me being in God's presence. What's happening, legacy, is that there are so many things that are distracting us from recognizing my true help. My true help. Sometimes the mountains provide a false sense of help. And as long as I'm looking in the direction of God, can't you see the children of Israel looking at the mountains because Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is placed on a mountain? Can't you see them looking at the mountains and saying, where does my help come from? And remember, one of the things about the Jewish people and about the nation of Israel is that they were prone to gravitate toward pagan worship. When Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments from God and he comes back, what do? They make this golden calf. They are worshiping an idol god. They are prone to draw themselves toward pagan idols and things that take them away from God. When they were about to cross into the promised land and the people of Moab came out to greet them, and before you know it, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, are worshiping false gods. Not only are they worshiping, but they are taking their own children and offering them as a sacrifice to those false gods. And so the nation of Israel, they were prone to worshiping pagan gods and idols. How much more us? If we are not careful, we find ourselves worshiping idols, don't we?
Amen.
I remember I had a 1971 black Monte Carlo.
Yes, sir.
Two doors. It had the original wheels on it. I had went and got some carpet from somewhere and put some shag carpet in the floor. And you know how we put the carpet in the back window? Shiny black. And you know how when you we didn't live in the hood, but you know you just cruise through the hood. And you crank the speakers up, you slow down, and you know back in the day we would cruise like this. Just one hand on the steering wheel. Everybody could see. And then when everybody saw that car, they knew who was coming. And so you see, that car was a item. It was an object for me that I could not live without. Until I ran into the back of that AC, the heat and air man. And all of my dreams were gone. And so there are times when we allow distractions to get in the way of our relationship with God. And so we must be willing to identify those distractions. We must be willing to identify the things that are taking my focus off God. What are some things in our lives, guys? What are some things in our lives that are taking our focus off God? What are some things in our lives? Don't answer this out loud, okay? But what are some things in our lives that are taking our focus off God? Yeah. Just give it some thought for a couple of seconds. The thing that, in a lot of cases, the thing that is most important to you has the potential of taking our focus off God. You know, one of the things that has happened that we must recognize, that we're on a treacherous journey. Yeah. And so the journey will take our focus off God. Just because the journey is hard, it can take our focus off God. There are times when our spiritual journey to get into the presence of God is so hard that we're not careful. We take our focus off God, and before you know it, we're out of the game. It's just the journey itself. It can be difficult. Be aware of the idols that build themselves up in our lives. Before we know it, if we're not careful, this thing that is so important to me, it becomes an idol in my life. Be careful when God no longer has the wow factor in my life. If we no longer look at the things of God and we say, wow, then our distraction, we've been distracted. We have been distracted. And I can see the children of Israel as they are ascending to Jerusalem for the festivals. And all of these things around them, they could stop on them. They could just go part of the way. They could have stopped and built their own shrine and worshiped instead of going all the way to Jerusalem. There were so many distractions on the journey, but be aware of the distractions. The second thing that I think will help us with distractions, conquering our distractions, is recognizing the true source of my help. Recognizing the true source of my help. The Word of God says my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see that? And so I believe that the source of my help does not come from the mountains, even though they have significance. But the true source of my help, it comes from God, because he is the maker of heaven and earth. He is my meaning, he is my purpose, and he is my life. You see, the journey of the ascent for the nation of Israel is to the house of God. Your spiritual journey, your ascent on this spiritual journey should be to get in the presence of God. No matter what it takes, no matter what sacrifice you have to make, no matter what we have to do, no matter how many friends we got to cut loose, no matter how many times we got to resist the temptation of wanting to be like everybody else, our purpose is to get into the presence of God. No matter what it takes. Because God is our reason for living. He is our purpose for life. The place of God's ultimate purpose and presence in my life is in his presence. In his presence. Many times we read this Psalm 121 and we envision a mountaintop experience. And there are mountaintop experiences, but I'm trying to tell you today that sometimes the things that the mountains hold can be distraction for us. And they can take us away from the presence of God. And one of those things that we always heard is that in those times, the good becomes the enemy of the best. The good becomes the enemy of the best because it's good that I look up. Amen? It's good that I look up. It's good that I look in the direction of God. But you see, there's so much better for me. There's so much better for me if I find myself in God's presence. Mm-hmm. It's good to want to do the right thing. It's good to want to say the right thing. It's good to want to have the right attitude. But the best thing for me is to find myself in God's presence. And to find myself in God's presence, it means that I must go on a journey of ascent. There's nothing like being in God's presence. You know, sometimes we come into God's presence and we come with our head bowed. Sometimes we come in God's presence, we're crawling and we're crying, we're sobbing. But nonetheless, we are in God's presence. Sometimes we come into God's presence, we feel guilty. Ever felt guilty, when you want to go before God and pray, and you're like, Lord, I done messed up again. And you feel, see, the enemy is saying you don't deserve to be in God's presence. The enemy is saying, because of what you've done, you're no good, you don't need to be in, and God's not going to listen to you anyway. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. If you are a child of God, you are always welcome in the presence of God. You're always welcome in the presence of God. And so the source of my help, it comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and I must find myself in his presence. Look what the word of God says here. He says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills when it's coming my help. He says, my help come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so not only do we recognize the true source of my help, that it is from the Lord, but also I want you guys to see this morning, recognize the true value of my help. Recognize the true value of my help. Look at what he says in verses 3-8. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Do you recognize value in God's presence? Do you recognize value if God is our source? You know, there are three words that are important that we get out of what I just read here. One word is suffer. In other words, God is saying, I will not allow these things to happen to you. If we are in God's presence, the Bible says that God will not allow certain things to happen to us. If we are seeking God, if we are on this spiritual journey, this spiritual ascent, we must remember that God's promise where he says, I will not allow your foot to be moved. Sometimes it gets slippery, doesn't it? Sometimes we find ourselves on the slippery slope. And we don't know which way we're going to fall. We don't know which way we're going to go. But we have confidence in knowing that if we recognize God as our true source, if we seek to be in his presence, that we can hold on to the promise that God will not allow, he will not suffer or allow our foot to slip. I love it because even those travelers, as they ascended to Jerusalem, even though sometimes they journeyed after dark, the Bible promises us that God would not stop watching out for us. That as we traveled, and sometimes you can't see where you're placing one foot in front of the other. You don't know if you're about to step off a cliff. You don't know if you're about to step in a hole. You don't know if you're about to go around the corner. But we have an assurance from God that he will not allow our foot to slip. That he's going to be with us even in the dark times. That he's going to be with us when we don't know what's next. That God is going to be with us. God is going to be with us. Another word that we see over and over in these verses is preserve. Preserve. From the King James, the word is preserve in verses 5-8. It's a word that means that he is going to be our protector. But it's interesting because the word preserve is used two or three times in these verses. And one time, the word keep, where it says he will keep you, it's the same word for preserve, shamar. It's the same word both times. But the first time, it references to God protecting and preserving us from physical harm. From physical harm. The second time you see this word used is reference to God preserving us and keeping our soul, protecting us from spiritual harm. What we have in this promise from God is that he will not grant permission. The same word is used. When God is having this conversation with Satan in Job chapter 1. And where God does not permit Satan to harm Job. The same word. He will not grant permission for Satan to harm Job. In the same place, God is not giving permission for anyone, anything, anybody to harm us as we are on this ascent toward God. The distractions in life that keep us from the journey. But we have confidence in knowing that God will be with us. We have confidence in knowing that no matter how bad things might get, no matter how confused or how mixed up or how undecisive we might be, that God is with us. He watches over you and he will not slumber. He is a shade at your right hand. He will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a promise. What a promise. When you read this promise, who wouldn't say, wow? When you read this promise, who wouldn't have confidence in knowing that God is with me no matter what? I just want to finish with this story. This story. The story is that the American Indians had a unique practice of training their young braves. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting and scouting and fishing and various other skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken several miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce on him. And after what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke. And the first rays of sunlight entered into the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw the flowers and he saw the trees and the outline of the path. Then, surprised, he saw a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night. He had been there all night long, just like our father. I want to encourage you this morning that many times we may be terrified. And many times, because of the difficultness of the journey, we fall prey to the many distractions that we talked about earlier. And we visualize all sorts of things about to pounce on us. But I want you to know that even in the midst of the darkest hour, our Father is standing there. Our Father is with us. Our Father is protecting us. Father, we come before you tonight. We come before you today, Lord God, and we thank you for your word. We recognize, God, that when we challenge ourselves about the many distractions in this life, that it could be difficult to swallow. Help us, God, to receive your word, to internalize your word. Help us, God, to do self-reflection and ask the questions, God, what are some things that are distracting me from being closer to you? I pray, Lord God, for serious and honest contemplation. I pray, God, that at the end of the day, that you will continue to wow us. So many times today we say wow. Because of the technological advances, because of something somebody said, because of something we saw on Facebook, because of some great feat, we say wow, we proclaim wow, wow, wow. But Lord, help us to get back to proclaiming wow when it comes to you. When it comes to being in your presence, Lord, help us to get back to desiring to be in your presence. Give us the strength and the courage that we need, God, to make the difficult decisions, Lord, that would find us in your presence. Lord God, when those temptations of money pull us away from you, give us strength, Lord. When things on the TV desire our attention more than you, Lord, I pray that you will pull us back to you, God. I pray, God, that the lure of the things that we watch on the internet, that we will not allow those things to pull us away from you. Help us, God, to say no to the temptation of watching pornography on the internet, Lord God. Help us to say no, God, to those things that distract us, Lord. The things that our eyes will see, God. Help us to say no, Father. We pray, God, that those times when religion would be more important than you, that looking right and sounding right would be more important than being in your presence, God. We pray that you would give us the courage we need, God. I pray, God, for those relationships that are so demanding in our lives. So demanding in our lives, God. I pray, God, that you would give us a sense of balance. Give us a sense of balance, God, and know when we have to pull back and know when we have to affirm and support, God. Oh, God, give us balance, Father. I pray, God, for those that work. That job, God, that desires so much attention. That job, Lord God, that gives me a sense of status, that gives me a sense of belonging, gives me a sense of being somebody. I pray, God, that that job would not pull me away from you, God. Lord, there are so many times that we have hobbies in. Even those hobbies in our lives, God, they can be so, so, so fulfilling. But Lord, don't let it distract me from being in your presence. We pray for courage today, Lord. We pray for strength. In Jesus' name we pray. We are more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
We are more than conquerors. And I believe that God is going to give me the power to deal with distractions in my life. And I believe that God is going to give each one of us in this room today the power, the wisdom to deal with those distractions. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God.